The sentence is from Mark chapter 13, verse 7. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. So let us pray the collect. God, our ruler and guide, when we come to the place where the road divides, keep us true to the way of Christ, alive to the present opportunities, and confident of eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the first reading for today is from Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 35. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Some time later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
The Gospel reading according to Mark, chapter 13, verses 5 to 13. Praise and glory to God. Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and a kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say what is given to you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Throughout this time of Easter, on the Sundays between Easter and Pentecost, the lectionary lists passages from the Book of Acts. This book is Luke's sequel to the Gospel. It describes the growth and history of the early church, including the struggles and uncertainties. The lectionary jumps around a bit so that we don't hear a continuous story. Still, it is good to reflect on the experience of the early church, to consider how God worked through the church in the world then, and to be guided by that now. After all, the Book of Acts is part of the Bible. So that what is described here is not only interesting or relevant history, it is revelation. This Sunday is actually the Remembrance Day for St. Mark. The reading from Acts mentions Mark, but it is not the glowing story of a hero of the faith, but rather the account of a church conflict. and in part it seems that it was Mark's fault. During an earlier journey, he had proved unreliable. It seems he had not been able to stick it out, possibly as Paul and Barnabas faced difficulties. So, when Paul and Barnabas now considered whether to take Mark with them, their opinions clashed. Paul certainly didn't want to give him a second chance. We might have expected that the early church would have come up with a great method of conflict resolution, which we might all emulate then. And for certain matters it probably did. After all, the Council of Jerusalem, for example, determined matters that were threatening to split and weaken the church. But here in this disagreement between church leaders, there was no real resolution. Rather, Paul and Barnabas parted company and took their respective support person with them. Is then this only too human reaction the solution? Well, sometimes parting ways is the solution, even in the church, which after all is full of humans with clashing characters, clashing opinions and conflicting insights. The church is the communion of saints among whom the presence of Jesus abides, among whom the Spirit works. But the church is not the heavenly Jerusalem. My mother coined a word for that, it humans, and it humans quite strongly in the word, in the church. It often humans particularly strongly in the church, in the administrative area, and when making plans and setting visions. After all, both Paul and Barnabas wanted the best for the church. They just had different views of how this great outcome could be achieved. For example, I sense that already now people set solutions on how to deal with the challenges brought by the current pandemic. Some say that the church has to place more emphasis on digital channels, that it has to speak to people through social media. Others say that once this is over, the church has to become even more intentionally local and stress the physical, the presence in one room together, the handshake, the common cup. Even more clearly, we have seen conflicting responses to the current situation at the societal level. If you thought that this pandemic has united the nation or even nations, you may soon come to a rude awakening. Rather, to me it seems that people see it as an opportunity to push their own agendas. And even where they want to the best for the country, their presuppositions are so different that the solutions are nearly opposite. For example, while most people acknowledge that tourism will suffer for a few years at the very least, some want to go back to the old ways as soon as possible. Others want a reset to focus on a more sustainable way of tourism, one that is kinder to the environment. But even here opinions differ on how to achieve that. Some want to focus on high net worth individuals. Others point out that the consumption habits of these high net worth individuals are not at all kind to the environment, and that these tourists normally do not spread their considerable spending. It is better, they argue, to target people that spend longer time in New Zealand and visit even out-of-the-way places. A backpacker or cyclist is far kinder to the environment and supports a wider variety of businesses. Some think that the great stimulus project would be to bulldoze a motorway through the Canterbury Plains to connect Timaru to Christchurch. Others support an electric train service that would be a better project from a social and environmental perspective. Some want to encourage construction by inducing the rich people from overseas to have houses built here. Others want major expenditure on housing for the poor. It carries on, you see. But it seems that in times of uncertainty and fear, the potential for division is strong. I hope that New Zealand will not resolve it by parting ways, but rather by coming up with a good plan. My guess is that as usual we will get something that is relatively ineffective. Maybe avoiding some of the greatest follies, but also not going with the best opportunities for change. In the church, we will also have different opinions on how to address this or any other challenge. I hope it will not lead to much parting of the ways. I hope that we will find both human and godly ways of addressing challenges. Even in cases when people in the church part company, even when there is division, there is hope for reconciliation. In his later letters, Paul describes Mark as a fellow worker. Mark was with Paul in Rome, and he was again useful to Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, as before. For it seems that Mark was suited through his upbringing for this ministry. Many people probably just read over the little verse that mentions that Mark was also called John. Maybe it's just that this guy had a nickname, you may suppose. But if we look at the names, we realize that Marcus is a common Roman name, actually one of the most common male names in the Roman realm. And John is actually Yohanan. So Yohanan is a Hebrew name, meaning Yahweh is merciful. Mark, therefore, was probably someone who was familiar both with the Jewish and Roman cultures. As such, he was just the man to help Paul to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. It seems that Mark continued in this mission even when the human element erupted with vigor in the early church, when it threatened to disrupt the continuing mission. And at the end, even that only two human discord could be overcome. Tradition has it that Mark also met Peter in Rome, and that Peter was Mark's main source for the gospel that now bears Mark's name. We do not know so for sure. It is, however, certain that both Mark and Paul were God's special instruments in the early church, and that God could use them, even though at one point they did not trust each other. It is striking that the gospel passage that the lectionary uses to illustrate the life of Mark is the discourse about what many term the signs of the end of the age. But of course, Jesus does not much describe the exact events by which we may predict his coming. Indeed, Jesus says that it is fruitless to look for such signs. Instead, the church has to realize that it will continue to live in an all-too-human world, that there will be wars and rumors of wars, that people will rise against people, nation against nation. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the pains. So our humanness will continue. We will continue to be in a world in which human arrogance and complacency, human greed and error will result in untold suffering, in destruction, injustice, fear and hate. The church is part of this world, a world which God nevertheless has redeemed by taking all this brokenness on Jesus Christ. In this world, the church will often fail in its mission, will be weak when it should be strong. But exactly when it is at its most faithful, it will be such an irritant to the destructive powers that its members will be handed over to the councils and be slammed in the social networks and the media. Jesus is telling his disciples and followers throughout time that they better get used to living in this tension of the human and the sacred intertwined, of God's love being active among human history, among human failing. But it seems that God can turn even the failings of humans around. The split between Paul and Barnabas because of Mark was a human failing. But God used them all, first separately and then together, to bring the gospel to the world. A famous theologian has suggested that the breadth of church history is witness to human confusion in divine providence. At times it is hard to disentangle what's what, whether the actions of individuals or groups were of God or against God, whether God used human failing to work out God's plan, or whether the church is still under too much human control. And so it is sometimes also in our own time, now and here. We often do not know what we should do, whether our plans are mainly our own designs or really of God. And even when it is clear that we have failed because we are human, God can still use these failings and turn them to God's purposes. Of course, we need to discern what the right course of action is at each stage, for our family, our church, our city, our country, or the world. But we need to be open that as humans we may often fail, and that God can make something out of our failings. Amen.